Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Tuesday, September 24th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate. We're diving into a fascinating new study about weight loss drugs and their surprising effect on a common skin condition. Let's kick things off with the basics. What exactly is hidradenitis suppurativa, and how does it impact people's lives?
Well, Ted, hidradenitis suppurativa, or HS for short, is a real pain in the, well, let's just say it's not fun. It's a chronic skin condition that affects about 1 in 100 people. We're talking painful abscesses and scarring, typically popping up in areas with sweat glands like armpits and around the breasts. It's like your body decides to throw a really nasty, uninvited party in the worst possible places.
You're right about the basics, Eric. But let's not gloss over the fact that HS disproportionately affects women. This isn't just a minor inconvenience we're talking about.
I wasn't glossing over anything, Kate. I was just giving an overview. But you're right, it does affect women more, and it's definitely not minor. It can have a huge impact on quality of life.
Exactly my point. It's crucial we emphasize how debilitating this condition can be. People with HS often struggle with everyday activities, not to mention the emotional toll it takes. We need to be clear about—
Thank you both for those insights. Now let's focus on the study itself. It centered on semaglutide, the key ingredient in those popular weight loss drugs like Wegovy and Ozempic. What did the researchers discover?
The findings were pretty exciting, Ted. The study showed that semaglutide can actually reduce HS flare-ups. Patients who received weekly injections saw their flare frequency drop from once every 8.5 weeks to once every 3 months. That's a huge improvement. Imagine going from dealing with these painful flare-ups almost monthly to just 4 times a year. It's like getting your life back.
While those numbers sound impressive, we need to pump the brakes a bit here. This was a tiny study with only 30 patients. That's barely a drop in the bucket. We can't go around drawing big conclusions
from such a— Hold on, Kate. Yes, it was a small study, but that doesn't negate the results. The average dermatology life quality index score improved from 13 to 9 out of 30. That's a significant boost in patients' quality.
But Eric, you're missing the bigger picture here. These drugs were originally designed for weight loss and diabetes management. We're venturing into off-label use territory, which opens up a whole—
Interesting points, both of you. Let's talk about the weight loss aspect. How does that factor into the HS improvements we're seeing?
Great question, Ted. It's worth noting that the study participants were obese, and we know that weight loss can help with HS symptoms. So it's possible that some of the improvements were partly due to the weight loss itself. It's like a two-for-one deal. You lose weight and your HS symptoms improve, but the rapid improvement in symptoms suggests there might be more to it than just weight loss.
Exactly, Eric. We can't separate the direct effects of the drug on HS from its indirect effects through weight loss. This study doesn't prove that semaglutide directly treats HS. It's like trying to figure out if it's the chicken or the egg. Are the HS symptoms improving because of weight loss, or is the drug doing something else? We just don't know yet.
Let's talk about the dosage used in the study. How does it compare to typical weight loss prescriptions?
The study used a relatively low average dose of 0.8 mmol per week for about 8 months. To put that in perspective, it's lower than the doses typically used for weight loss, which can go up to 2.4 mmol weekly. It's like using a teaspoon of sugar in your coffee instead of 3. The fact that they saw results with this lower dose is pretty interesting.
That's an important point, Eric. Lower doses could mean potentially fewer side effects, which is always a good thing. But we need to be cautious about extrapolating these results to higher doses or longer treatment periods. It's like assuming that because a little bit of something is good, a lot must be better. That's not always the case in medicine.
Let's put this discovery in context. Can you think of any similar situations where a drug was found to have unexpected benefits for a different condition?
Oh, absolutely, Ted. A classic example is minoxidil. It was originally developed as a blood pressure medication, but researchers noticed it had an unexpected side effect. Hair growth. Talk about a happy accident. Now it's primarily used as a treatment for baldness. It's like going to the store for milk and coming home with a winning lottery ticket.
That's true, but we should be careful about drawing parallels. The minoxidil discovery was accidental, while this semaglutide study was more targeted. We're comparing apples and oranges here. Plus, the regulatory landscape has changed.
Fair point about the differences, Kate, but there are other examples. Take aspirin, for instance. It started as a pain reliever, but is now widely used to prevent heart attacks and strokes. The principle is the same.
Those examples are from decades ago, Eric. The regulatory landscape has changed significantly since then. We can't assume new off-label uses will be approved as easily. It's a whole new ballgame now, with much stricter...
How does the discovery of semaglutide's effect on HS compare to these historical examples?
I'd say it's similar in that it expands the potential uses of an existing drug. This could be a game changer for HS patients who haven't found relief with current treatments. It's like finding out your Swiss Army knife has a hidden tool you never knew about. Suddenly, you have a new way to tackle a problem that's been bothering you for years.
But we need to consider the potential risks, Eric. Semaglutide has known side effects, and we don't know how those might interact with HS symptoms long term. It's not just about finding a new use for a drug, it's about making sure that new use is safe and effective. We can't just throw caution to the wind because we're excited about the possibilities.
Speaking of long term effects, how long did it take for drugs like minoxidil to become widely accepted for their new uses?
Great question, Ted. It took several years of additional research and clinical trials. For minoxidil, it was about 20 years from the initial observation to FDA approval for hair loss. That might seem like a long time, but in the world of drug development, it's actually pretty quick. It's like watching a garden grow. It takes time, but the results can be amazing.
Exactly, and that process is even more rigorous now. We shouldn't expect semaglutide to be widely prescribed for HS anytime soon. It's not just about proving it works, it's about proving it's safe for long-term use in this specific population. We're talking years of studies, mountains of data, and countless regulatory hurdles.
True, but the process might be faster since semaglutide is already FDA approved for other uses. We have a good understanding of its safety profile. It's like having a head start in a race. We're not starting from scratch here.
That doesn't mean we can skip thorough testing for this specific use, Eric. HS patients deserve treatments that have been rigorously studied for their condition. It's not just about speed, it's about doing it right. We can't cut corners when it comes to people's health.
Let's look to the future. If further research confirms these findings, how might this change HS treatment?
This could revolutionize HS treatment, Ted. Imagine a single drug that helps with weight loss and reduces HS symptoms. It could dramatically improve patients' quality of life. It's like hitting two birds with one stone. You're addressing obesity, which is a risk factor for HS, and directly improving the skin condition itself. This could be a real game changer for millions of people.
That's an overly optimistic view, Eric. We need to consider the cost implications. These drugs are expensive, and insurance companies might not cover them for HS.
Cost is always a factor, Kate, but if this treatment proves effective, it could actually save money in the long run. Fewer flare-ups mean fewer doctor visits, less time off work, and better overall health.
It's but that's a big if, Eric. We're getting way ahead of ourselves here. We need large-scale, long-term studies before we can confidently recommend this treatment. It's irresponsible to get people's hopes up.
Interesting points,
such.
Both of you. What about the broader implications for medical research?
This discovery could spark a new wave of research into GLP-1 agonists for inflammatory conditions. We might find even more unexpected benefits. It's like opening Pandora's box, but in a good way. Who knows what other conditions these drugs might help with? It's an exciting time for medical research.
Or we might find unexpected risks, Eric. We need to be cautious about promoting off-label use before we have all the data. It's not just about finding new uses. It's about ensuring those uses are safe and effective. We can't let our excitement overshadow the need for rigorous scientific investigation.
How might this affect the pharmaceutical industry's approach to drug development?
It could encourage more research into the multiple effects of existing drugs. This approach could be more cost-effective than developing entirely new compounds. It's like finding new uses for old tools. You get more bang for your buck. Plus, it could lead to faster breakthroughs since we're working with drugs we already understand pretty well.
That's assuming pharmaceutical companies are motivated by cost-effectiveness rather than profits, Eric. they might prefer to develop new, patentable drugs for HS. It's not always about what's best for patients or most efficient. Sometimes it's about what's most profitable. We need to keep that in mind when we think about how this might play out.
Thank you both for this enlightening discussion. It's clear that while this study offers exciting possibilities for HS treatment, there's still much work to be done. We'll be keeping a close eye on future developments in this area. Until next time, this is Ted from Listen2, signing off.